Our gospel reading this morning is taken from Luke, beginning at chapter 12 and verse 22. You'll find that on page 1031 in your pew Bible. Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 22. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory, splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you? O you of little faith. And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also."
Good morning, everyone. My name's James. I'm the student minister here at St. Paul's. It's fantastic to be here this morning, getting to preach from the Word of God. Before we start, let's pray that he will speak to us this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you've gathered us here as your people in your church. We thank you so much that we now have the opportunity to sit under your Word and have you teach us. We pray, Lord, as we hear Jesus' command to not worry, that we would listen to it, and that we would understand that true peace only comes through your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Now, some of you might know, I've started Bible college this year at Moore, and it's been very exciting. It's quite a big deal for me. I haven't been to uni before, and the last time I think that I wrote an essay was back in high school, and you could hardly call what I wrote an essay back then. I had no idea what I was doing. So I wanted to go to college proving that I could do it, that I could do essays, I could write assessments, and that I could pass and get through. So I decided that for my very first assessment, I was going to smash it. I was going to do so well. I was going to come out getting a high distinction or distinction. I put in so much time and effort into it. So when I got the assessment syllabus and when I found out what it was, I got straight to work. I decided that I was going to work so hard and I was going to get this done as early as possible because I wanted to smash it and prove that I could do college. And so I worked hard and eventually I got it finished. I finished it 3 or 4 days before it was actually due. And so the satisfaction I had when I uploaded it to the website, submitted it, oh, it felt so good. I think I went out that day and celebrated by buying a can of Coke and sitting outside my room at Chapo House and just thinking, yes, this is fantastic. My first assessment of thousands to come. Or so I thought. A few days later, I was in my lecture, and I wanted to check up my submission to proudly look at the green box that would say, "Submitted for grading, 2 days early." I logged on and clicked on my submission page, opened it, but I didn't see a green box. In fact, it was red. And it didn't say, "Submitted for grading." It actually said, "No submission." And I kind of began to freak out. I'm in the middle of my lecture. I'm freaking out. My eyes are kind of wide open, and I'm like, ah, has anyone seen the Allianz ad where like they walk into their house and I better call Allianz? In my head, that was what's going on. I'm like, this is not good. This is not good. I'm freaking out. You know, this assessment was now 2.5 days late, according to my website. I tried refreshing the page, hopefully to see if it was just the website that was wrong. But no, it was still saying no submission. I was freaking out. I wanted to smash it. And now I was in fear of failure. I couldn't sit in the classroom. I had to walk out. I was pacing around Moore College for 10 minutes trying to work out, do I call my lecturer? Do I call my first year advisor? What do I do? I was so worried, so panicked. I end up emailing my first year advisor and I said, look, can you please reverse this? Can you please help me? I tried to upload it, but it seems like it didn't upload. Can you help me, please? And she got back to me and said this, do not worry. I'll sort it out. Do not worry. The peace that came over me, as you could imagine, to hear her say that, my breathing slowed, my heart rate dropped, I was relaxed. Everything was going to be all right. It was going to be okay. She said, do not worry. I had peace. Those moments in life when our worry is lifted away from us, always feel so good, don't they? When you've been on edge for so long, filled with worry, to find out everything is going to be okay, always feels so good. When a mother finds her lost child, when a family member pulls through a risky operation to save their life, when you hear you or your loved one is cleared of all charges, pronounced innocent, there's always a... as your body relieves that tension, begins to relax, your mind begins to clear, your blood pressure drops. It's a good feeling when worry leaves us, when everything's going to be all right and we have peace. But worry never leaves us for long, doesn't it? It always comes back. As soon as something is resolved, something else just goes wrong. And sometimes it doesn't get resolved. Our worry doesn't end up turning to peace, but despair and more worry. We wonder, can we ever have peace? One that won't be taken away by the worries of this life. The world tells us to do everything we can so we can live a worry-free life. Own your own house. Work hard. Make sure you have insurance. Make sure your super fund won't run out. But that doesn't stop us from worrying. That doesn't stop things going wrong in our lives, destroying our peace. Is it impossible then to ever live in peace, to truly rest and not worry? Although it seems not, Jesus goes against such overwhelming evidence. He says, don't worry. Do not worry. Why? Because Jesus has come to bring peace. He has come to bring peace to those who are worried, to those who are anxious. As we look at Luke this morning, we'll see why. That in the midst of our worries in life, we can have peace. Firstly, we see that life is more than the here and now. Verse 22 says, then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Although we worry about being healthy, earning enough money to eat and drink, Jesus says, do not worry about such things. He said this just after telling the crowd the parable of the rich fool, who spent his whole life working to build up his fortune, thinking it would give him peace and security, so that he could do, as verse 19 says, eat, drink, and be merry. However, he didn't know that that night his life would be demanded from him. His wealth was not able to give him security. Jesus then turns his attention to his disciples and says, life is more than food. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. he doesn't want his disciples to follow the example of this rich fool. Then his reason follows in verse 23. Life is more than food, the body more than clothes. The rich fool worked all his life so he could eat, drink, and be merry. Isn't that just a reflection of our life today? I'm currently with AMP for my super fund, and I have no clue if they're of good value or not. They keep sending me statements that I can't understand anything that says on them. But they love to send me updates telling me, you know, how my fund is looking when I retire and how I can maximize my payout when I retire. Our culture, particularly in Australia, encourage us to live for retirement, saying that you can work hard now, labor hard now, and it will be in retirement that you'll be able to eat, drink, and be merry. Many of us here are, let's say, finished with full-time work. I wonder, are you less worried? You might own your own house, have all your debts paid off, have a healthy super, but are you less worried? Does your wealth and fortune give you that peace and security? I could be wrong, but I'd say no. When we are working, we're worried about paying off the mortgage, putting food on the table, paying off the car loan, paying for the kids' schooling and the kids' everything else. When we finish working, those worries tend to leave us. But I think they are often replaced by other worries. Worry about our children or grandchildren, their future. Worry about not being able to do the things that we once loved doing. Worried about our declining health. Worried about death, even. Our worries never leave us. They only change. Although the world can't deal with our worry, Jesus still says, do not worry. Although the world might claim your life is all about eating, drinking, and being merry, Jesus says, no, it's not. Your life has a far greater purpose than to simply eat, drink, and be merry. Some of us here might be tired and weary. After working so hard to maintain that lifestyle that the world says brings peace, and after all these years, we're still worried. Have we missed out? Have we done it wrong? Is it too late? No. We might not be able to meet the world's expectation of peace. And that might make us feel worried, thinking, what is all this for if I'm full of worry still? But Jesus says, don't worry. Why? Because Jesus has come to bring peace to you. A peace that transcends this life, that death cannot take away. A peace that keeps standing firm in the storms of our life, in the midst of worries. It's a peace that comes when we realize that our life is more than simply eating, drinking, and being merry. Jesus begins here by shifting our focus from the here and now to something far greater, which he will disclose what that is. But before that, to help us focus on what is far greater, Jesus reminds us that God does provide for the here and now. We are told to consider how God takes care of the ravens in verse 24. They, unlike the rich fool, do not store up worms to eat, yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are we? Also to consider how God takes care of the flowers in verse 27. They also, unlike the rich fool, do not labor or spin to become beautiful. They simply are beautiful. And yet the next day, they are made as fuel for the fire. If God clothes the field in beautiful flowers that are temporary, how much more will he clothe us, who, as verse 23 implies, are eternal? Jesus makes the point that it is God who is supremely in control for providing our needs. Although the bird might seek out worms to eat, God is the one who provides the worms. Although the flowers might take in good nutrients from the soil to grow, it is God who plants them in that good soil so they can blossom. The world places this responsibility of providing on us. But Jesus reverses such an idea and points out that it isn't down to us. That it is God who generously provides. It's not that we are to do nothing, waiting for manna to just appear from heaven. But just as the birds are busy catching worms, finding twigs for the nest, we too should not be lazy, but continue to provide for ourselves and for our family. The difference, though, is that we must realize we can't provide for ourselves on our own, apart from God's gracious provision. And this means that we can have peace, peace of mind, knowing that whilst at the times we might feel out of control, unable to provide for ourselves the means to live, we need not to despair, not to worry. Because although we might feel out of our depth, God certainly isn't. He can provide. We can have peace, knowing that it's not ultimately down to us. God is our ultimate provider, and He will provide. Indeed, we will see that He has provided for us the most crucial need. For God is pleased to give us the kingdom. In the second part of the passage, Jesus provides an alternative to our worrying. Reiterating the command to not worry, he then says in verse 31, but seek his kingdom and all these things will be given to you as well. Once again, Jesus brings us back to the idea he presented in verse 22, that our life is not about the here and now, that we live for something far greater, something that's not temporary, but eternal. Here, Jesus discloses what that is, the kingdom. For those who wish to live worry-free lives, to have peace, we are implored by Jesus to seek and to pursue the kingdom. But what is that? What is the kingdom? It kind of sounds abstract. You know, and what does it even mean, and how we go about seeking it? And what if we seek the kingdom and we can't find it? And how do we know we've found the kingdom? What does that look like? It's a bit of a weird thing. Potentially, this is something that could make us worry, ironically, since Jesus seems to make out that this kingdom is the means of which we can escape from the worried life, to have peace. So to attain this kingdom is of most desire. We might think to seek the kingdom is to read our Bible daily, to go to church every Sunday, to say our prayers in the morning, and evangelize to our friends. Certainly, these are aspects of how we should live in the kingdom. God definitely wants us to set our sights on heavenly things and not earthly things. But Jesus says in verse 32, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Although we are called to seek and pursue the kingdom, Jesus says it's already been given to us. How? How can he give us the kingdom? What is that? Well, God is pleased to give us the kingdom by giving us the King, Jesus. For it is through Jesus that we can have entry into the kingdom of God. Through his death and resurrection, our sin has been paid for so we might be able to live with and enjoy with God, a relationship with him for eternity. This is the climax of the passage. For those who trust in Jesus, there is no need to worry, for theirs is the kingdom. In a world that tells us we need to have lots of money to have peace and security, in order that we might drink and be merry and eat, Jesus says peace comes when we truly seek the kingdom that God is pleased to give us. It's when we seek to follow Jesus and trust in him, we will know peace. This is a peace that has assurance of life after death. For what God is pleased to give is eternal. Which is why Jesus makes the case not to worry, because our lives are more than living for the here and now, for the things of this world. The great purpose God has given us is to dwell with him in his kingdom now and for eternity. And he's enabled this through giving us the King, his son Jesus. Some of us here might be tired and weary from living a life that has only resulted in facing worry after worry after worry with no hope of peace. Realizing that for all our stuff, our houses, our money, our comforts, it doesn't remove the worry that still exists in our life. Worry that makes us ask, is this enough? Has it been worth it? What will happen now when I die? Jesus has come to bring peace to those who are filled with worry by showing us that our life, whether we are just starting out or whether we are coming to its end, is not about living for the here and now, but that we have been called to a greater purpose. That is to seek the kingdom that God is pleased to give us, that we might dwell with him now and for eternity, knowing that life, nothing in this life, not hunger, not poverty, not nakedness, not even death, can take away what God is so pleased to give us, his kingdom, his eternal kingdom. Peace comes when we follow Jesus, knowing that he is in control, knowing that he will carry us through our worries, that we might dwell in the kingdom of God now and always. Do you want peace? Do you want an eternal peace? The world tells us to work hard, then we won't be able to worry. But we're still left worried. As for Jesus, he also says don't worry, but promises that when we seek his kingdom, God will be pleased to give it. Indeed, he already has. What will you do? Will you receive it?